We'll be in Amos chapter 5, starting in verse 18. Amos 5, verse 18. Verse 18, it says, "Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, do not spout against the house of Isaac." Sorry, wrong verse. "Woe to you," there we go. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is it that the day of the Lord is to you? It would be darkness and not light. It would be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him." Verse 20, "Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I would not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings." Verse 23, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I would not hear the melody of your string instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carry Sikketh, your king, and Shayun, your idols, your star gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into the captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this book of Amos, this man of God who you've used throughout history. And Lord, I pray that we can glean much truth from this passage. Help us to have open hearts. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to guide my words tonight. In your precious name, amen. All right, so I have a slideshow for you guys today. So I know this is the evening crowd, so I want you guys to kind of stay awake. But as most of you know, one of my favorite things to do for a hobby is to go biking. And I love going biking, especially in the summer and fall. And earlier this summer, me and my uncle, we went for a bike trip, I think somewhere out in Waukesha. And, we had a plan to go biking and stop at a nearby pizza place to, have some dinner. And after we left the pizza place, we saw the clouds start to get dark. And for some reason, I decided to ignore it. I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to that, And the clouds got darker and darker. And before you know it, when we left to go back to my car, it started thundering really bad. And this was back when I had my long hair, and all of the stuff in my hair was getting into my eyes, and it was dark, and I didn't bring my bike light, and it was a very interesting event. And luckily, my uncle, he had his bike light, and we made it back to my car. But that time made me think about a different man in history that I learned back at Emmaus. And this was a law student back in the year 1505, so quite some time ago. And if you want to go to the next slide for me. So far, all we know is that he's a law student who's caught in storm, okay? This is back in 1505. This law student just finished his bachelor's and master's degree in Germany. This was at Erfurt University. Is Ruth here tonight? No, Ruth? Ruth, if you're listening, I try my best to pronounce these German words. So this is a law student. He was studying at Erfurt University. He just graduated with his master's and bachelor's. And he took a trip to his parents' house. And on June 2nd in 1505, he was going back to Erfurt in Germany from his parents. And while on the road, he encountered a violent thunderstorm. So you can hit the next one. Yep. One more for me now. All right, so I'm sure he looked something like that, but he encountered this thunderstorm and he was terrified, and he was so terrified that he cried out to God because he feared for his life. Now, he didn't say God per se, but he said, "Saint Anne, Saint Anne, if you spare my life, I will become a monk, and not go to law school." Right? So this was his cry, and he was so terrified that he said, "Saint Anne, if you spare my life, I will become a monk." So I didn't have that experience on my bike ride. if I feared for my life, I would just say, "Lord, I'll be with you in a second, but I'm not becoming a monk anytime soon." But if you hit the next one for me now, this is the great Martin Luther. He was basically the catalyst for the Protestant Reformation. And we know that he honored his oath. His life was spared, and he ended up going to become a monk. Now, obviously, he probably wasn't transformed as far as being a Christian at that exact moment. But the reason why I bring that story up is because in that moment, he chose to examine himself, right? And you can see I have examine yourself. And Martin Luther, he was an interesting guy. I actually read a biography of him back at Emmaus. And he was an interesting guy. The Lord used him in a mighty way. Much of our doctrine on grace and much different teachings in Christian thought is from this guy, Martin Luther, who became a monk after this experience. But in a way, the storm caused him to examine himself, even though he was out of fear. And he wasn't sure if he was right with God. Even if he knew God from a maybe religious standpoint, he wasn't sure if he knew the heart of God. In other words, what does God want from me? What is his desires? What is his thoughts? What is his plans? Who is God? And it's interesting that he cried out to Saint Anne and not the Lord Jesus, right? And most people believe that that was his only mediator between God at the time was Saint Anne. And Saint Anne was known to be the mother of Mary, even though that's no biblical records of that. But that was the belief at the time. You see, like Martin Luther, Amos too had a message about this, about looking at ourselves and our Christian lives. Who are we to God? Do we think about God deeply? What do our religious ceremonies say to God? Is it intentional? Do we know the heart of God? So I actually named this message the heart of God, but also examining ourselves as believers in Christ. You see, the prophet Amos is trying to get through the minds and the hearts of the Northern Kingdom. So if you go to the next slide here. So who was Amos, right? So like many of the prophets in the Bible, we don't know much about the prophet Amos. We know that he's from a town called Tekoa, which is in the Southern Kingdom. And we can see here that's near Judah. So he's from Tekoa. He goes to preach in the Northern Kingdom, and he's preaching against idolatry and this disobedience on the Northern Kingdom's part. And he says, but so this is before the exile. So we call him a pre-exilic prophet. This is back between 793 and 739 BC. And you guys know the Assyrian Empire took the nation of Israel into exile in 722 BC. So basically, God called Amos to deliver this message to the Northern Kingdom. And as you can see, he was just an ordinary guy, right? He was a shepherd. I have up there, he was a shepherd, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, a herdsman, and a dresser of sycamore trees. So he was a regular guy, just like you and me. But God called him to deliver a rather shocking and challenging message to the religious leaders of his day in the Northern Kingdom. And like the great Martin Luther, these people had to examine themselves where they are with God. Do they have a good relationship with God, or are they falling into idolatry, hypocrisy? So if you go to the next slide here. So we'll be talking about idol worship today. And we see this a lot in the book of Amos. You see, Amos' message was to the Northern Kingdom and would have been challenging and shocking to them. They were living in a time of financial prosperity while continuing the religious sacrifices that over time became nothing more than a religious system that required no intentionality. However, the truth is that they were far from the heart of God because of their false piety and mistreatment of the poor. They had no idea how far their idolatry and unfaithfulness and injustice had drifted them away from the covenantal relationship with God. So for believers today, there is much truth and wisdom to glean from this message that Amos had to deliver to the Northern Kingdom. As you see up there, I have pictures of King Jeroboam the second. You can see the two golden calves there, and it's just basically showing the idolatry that happened during this time. And you can see what Amos had to face up against. He had to face up against people who were into idol worship. So King Jeroboam was known as one of the worst kings throughout Israel's history. So he had a challenging message for this kingdom. Now, for our walk with Christ, we often find ourselves drifting away into strange paths filled with darkness and confusion. We can easily become confused and start to care too much about the cares of this world. We stop finding delight in God's word, His word directs us on the right path, and without it, it's easy to fall back into darkness. That's what the people of Israel needed, and that's what we need today. You see, when I was on my bike with my uncle, it was so dark that I could not see, and I already had so much stuff in my eyes for my hair, and it was just so bad. But I needed light to get through that dark path. And the Bible says that the word of God is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And that's what the people of Israel, they missed that. They missed the word of God in their lives. Do we have the same issue today as Christians? You see, sometimes we have trouble discerning God's will for our lives. What does God want for me? What is His purpose in my life? Am I actually walking with Christ today? And today I want to talk about the things that God loves, but also the things that He hates. What's the heart of God? What pleases the Lord? And the Bible tells us to examine ourselves throughout Scripture. If you look at, you don't have to go there, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." David says in the book of Psalms chapter 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." You see, Martin Luther had that same dilemma in that moment. You know, he said, "God, Saint Anne, save me," right? And he ended up becoming a monk. But in that experience, he ended up becoming a Christian as he studied God's word. So where are we tonight? Are we right with God? Have we searched our hearts? Do we know the heart of God? Have we examined ourselves as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13? So in the book of Amos, I basically drew out an outline of three things that we can pull from. And these three things, they're very influential in our times today and relevant. So if you go to the next slide, please. Oh, next one. I forgot I had presentation up here. So the 2 Corinthians 13, 5, and then the other one was Psalms 139, 23 through 24. And then the next one, Neil. Awesome. So three things we can learn from the book of Amos. And I said up here, three examinations. So the first thing is God's heart for justice. That would be chapter 3 and verses 9 through 15. The second thing is the plague of materialism. That's chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And the third thing is hypocritical worship and idolatry. That's chapter 5, verses 18 through 25. So the thing that we're going to be looking at tonight is hypocritical worship and idolatry, to save you guys a long sermon. But basically, you can find all three of these things in the book of Amos, right? You can find God's heart for justice, the plague of materialism that sometimes we fall into. And also, you can find hypocritical worship and idolatry in chapter 5. And next slide, please. So let's go back to Amos chapter 5, our passage tonight, and go back to verse 18. So Amos says in these verses, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is it? What good is the day of the Lord for you? It would be darkness and not light. It would be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" So Amos is referring to the day of the Lord. Now, most commentators that I found, they believe that this was the upcoming exile for the nation of Israel. More specifically, this judgment was from the from God, but through the Assyrian Empire. The people and religious leaders that Amos was prophesying to would have thought that the day of the Lord was a good thing, a positive thing. But Amos says, no, it's not. As you can see, it's a day of darkness, a day of gloom. And this is, again, very shocking to the people in Amos' day. They thought the day of the Lord would be a victorious day, that they'll reign over their enemies. But because of their idol worship, that wasn't the case at all. And I have up here on the slides, what are the idols in our lives today that we have as Christians, right? The question is, what is competing with our love and devotion to Jesus today, right? And I'm so glad we read in 1 John this morning, because this verse, I had this verse before, and I was thinking about this verse all week. So it's just such a blessing that we read 1 John and the Lord's Supper. But in 1 John chapter 5, he says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take the place of God in your hearts." And I think that's so crucial, right? And you can see the guy or the lady right here, you know, got their hands against their head, because I feel like that's a perfect description of today. We have so many distractions, whether it's our phones, or, you know, business or work, different anxieties. It's a lot of pressures today, but also a lot of idols that we might have in our hearts. And this verse, some translations say, "Stay away from idols, my children, stay away from idols." So I think that passage is very telling today. Now, this reminds me of a story that I read about Benny Hinn. Now, before I go any further, I'm not giving any praises to Benny Hinn or anything like that. But he actually has a nephew that used to work with him back in his ministry days. And his nephew actually recanted from working with him and renounced his teachings and his doctrine. And his nephew goes around preaching against the prosperity gospel, and preaching against Benny Hinn's ministry. So it's a very interesting story. But I remember his nephew talking about how he used to travel with Benny Hinn. And, you know, an interview asked him, "You know, you used to travel with this guy day in and day out. And you used to see the hypocrisy, the fake miracles." And because he was saying, like, "I saw this in person, like, I know it's real." But he asked him, "Why didn't you do anything? Like, why did you never stop it? Why didn't you report it to anyone?" And Benny Hinn's nephew said, "Well, because every night we went back to a luxurious hotel. We had a lot of money. We had a lot of things. And it was like, we'll see it that night and we'll feel heartbroken, but we'll go back to our possessions and we'll forget that anything ever happened." And I think that's a good example of how we are today as Christians sometimes, right? We have a heart to serve God. We have a heart to know Him, but there are so many distractions distracting us from His purpose in our lives and His heart. And this is something that we have to fight against today as Christians. We have to fight against idols. Back then, idols were these objects, right, that people would worship, and different statues that people would bow down to. But the key is they took the place of the people's hearts. They took their devotion, their adoration, and love towards a false god, and therefore they started to disobey the true God, the only God. And this is the case we see today. Sometimes we have things in our lives that take the place of God's love and adoration, and we need to be reminded that He is the only one who needs to have His place in our hearts. Next slide, please, Neil. Thank you. So moving on in Amos, and also I would like to read, go back here, back in chapter 5. I would like to read verses 21 through 25. 21, he says, "I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I would not accept them, nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I would not hear the melody of your string instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? And I love that question that God, through the prophet Amos, is asking him, like, what did you offer me while you was in the wilderness? What was your devotion to? And he says, I don't want to hear your songs, your loud praises, your sacrifices, right? And it reminds me of David in the Old Testament. David often would say, Lord, you don't desire a sacrifice per se. You desire a repentant heart, because the sacrifices in their day became useless and it wasn't intentional. So I want to read a passage in John, 1 John chapter 5, a couple of verses before verse 21. If you will go with me to 1 John chapter 5 again. First John chapter 5, I'll start this time in verse 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he's eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in our hearts. And I love the further context there. He's pointing us to the true God that we should worship, and that's Jesus Christ. He's saying this God is a God of love. This God is a God that we can serve. He's eternal. He gives us life. The gods back in Israel's times, the small g gods, they didn't give life. They brought death. They brought injustice. They didn't bring the life that God could give them. And it's the same today. We often have idols in our hearts and in our lives, but those idols can't bring us true life, true peace, and true love. Only Jesus can do that. And I want to go back to Amos chapter 5. And I have up here the phrase, "Seek me and live." It's a phrase that he repeats in that passage. Verse 4 through 6. Let's see here. Verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, excuse me, in the house of Joseph, and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. And I think this phrase is. It's telling for us today. The Lord is calling us to seek him and live. Seek him above all things. God, he always calls his people back to repentance. Even in the book of Amos, if you go to chapter 9, you can see God's plan for restoration for the house of Israel. Though he had very harsh judgment against the people of Israel, he also gave them a glimpse of hope. And you see that a lot in the prophets, and especially the minor prophets. You see God announcing his judgment against his people. And he's saying, I'm going to send you to exile because of your disobedience. But he also gives them hope. And a lot of times that hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the line of David. And that's what I love about God, is that he always calls us back to repentance. So he says, seek me and live. And I wrote down, seek the Lord and not the ways of the world. That's what he talks about when he's talking about Bethel and Gilgal. They had different idols and different gods that they made for themselves. But the Lord, he's calling us to seek him and not the ways of this world. Make him our focus and delight. And again, Israel will be restored one day. Like, God still has a plan for them. God, he's gracious enough to offer a glimpse of hope in our lives and a chance to repent and turn back to him. There's no doubt that the book of Amos is relevant for us today. And all three of the points that I've mentioned, we should not look at these things as small concerns from hundreds of years ago, but rather we should understand these things as really very relevant today, and we can apply these things to our lives as well. They had broken and empty idols that they worship. What idols do we have in our lives today? And I actually want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis. Should be the next slide. Oh, that's it. Okay. I got it down here. So got back up. But this is a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I think it's pretty relevant to this this passage. He says, "Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body. In the end, submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing, nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever live, will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you will find the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him and with everything else thrown in." And that's C.S. Lewis. It's, for me, I just love that quote because he's saying, seek the Lord above all things. And I think that's really the solution to our temptation to worship idols. We're to seek the Lord, we're to seek the true God, Jesus, as it talks about in 1 John. Seek his delight and let our devotion be towards him tonight. That would be it tonight. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a look back at the prophet Amos, who, Lord, was used by you, though he was just a shepherd and came from a town of shepherds. Lord, you called him to preach your word and to preach repentance to those who were accustomed to idol worship. And Lord, we can look at these things as old scriptures that don't apply, but we know that these things are really relevant today. Lord, we ask you to, Lord, help our hearts to not be attached to the things of this world. Help us to not fall to the adoration and delight into idols and distractions and things that often distract our hearts from you, Lord. Help us to know your heart. As David was a man after God's own heart, Lord, let us all have that cry. And Lord, I ask that if there's anything we need to surrender tonight, anything that took up a place in our hearts that where you should reign, I said we would surrender that tonight and just bring it to the foot of the cross, Lord, and help us to keep our eyes focused on you and always to rejoice in your goodness and your grace and your mercy, and also giving your son for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, that we might live and serve him. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my Father, I thy true Son, thou with me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and the only first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. I, King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy so bright, heaven's sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler.
Well, this concludes our summer series. I wanted to thank all the men who fought here to do a message. It's not easy, but I'm so grateful for them. And I wanted to mention also that we have treats downstairs. Please come down and fellowship with us. And we just give you thanks. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we just give you thanks and praise for your wonderful mercy to us. Help us to rid our lives of idols. Help us to keep our focus on you and to trust in you in all things. And we just give you thanks and praise. We praise you for giving this message today. And we thank you again. We look forward to doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.